The definition of patience is praying for something, is praying and standing for that thing in the middle of the trial, just standing and praying, not just saying a simple prayer. But just standing, and patience is just standing and standing and standing on the Word of God. Confessions and speaking the Word of God over that situation. And patience is seeing that thing through, see, until we see the results we need. That's what patience is. Patience is seeing that thing through to the end. So as we just continue to stand and continue to love and love one another and learn how to love one another through the love of God, that we're going someplace with all this. It's just not a thing that's coming and going. This thing will last forever as we yield and learn how to yield ourselves over to the living God and not rely on the things of the flesh. God will have His way more and more in our life. Because He says our latter days shall be greater than our former days. And we are the living temples of God. And God lives us and we in Him. And we co-labor together with Him. So as we learn these things and understand them more day by day, precept upon precept, line upon line, we come into that glory and we come into that place that we don't rely on ourselves. For even Paul said, I can add nothing, I can give nothing to you of myself. But by the Spirit of the living God, He has all things for us. Just yield yourself and cast your cares onto Him. Just know that He is alive and He is well and He cares for you. There's not a single care that you're carrying right now that He hasn't already took from you and cared for you. So just release it onto the Him. See, because the posture of the Lord is like this, the posture of the cross. Arms open wide, heart exposed. That's always our Lord's posture. That's His posture forever. So just know that and yield to that posture. And just cast those things onto the feet of Jesus. Amen. Well, first of all, I'm used to standing in the back, so can everybody stand up and turn around? Because I'm used to seeing the back of your heads. All right. I guess not, huh? All right. I've been kind of meditating something it's been going on for quite a while, and 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9. I'll just read it real quickly. Verse 6 through 9 says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being more precious than that of gold, perishes, though it may be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So that's kind of the thing, you know, how do we respond to the situation or to the trial? Do we give a quick response, or do we just kind of hold back and keep our peace for a while and get the things of God before we react or respond to a situation or a trial? Because the temptation is always to respond to it very quickly. You know, it's like, well, you know, I need to deal with this now. And it's always the quick response usually is right out of the flesh. It's not of God. And sometimes we do have to respond kind of quickly, but it's always better the word says, hold your peace and allow the Lord to give the response. That's the fight right there. That's the trial of your faith is, you know, how are we going to respond? Galatians 5:19 says, the works of the flesh are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Adultery, witchcraft, which to me means control, manipulation. Hatred, variance, which is contentions. Emulations or jealousies. Wrath, strife, which is selfish ambitions or whatever like that. Seditions, which is divisions among the brethren or whatever, divisions between people, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, or carousing, and such the like. You will not inherit, and then it says, you will not inherit the kingdom of God, you know, if you do those things, right? We know that. But then it says in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, peace, long-suffering. Long-suffering to me sometimes is just consistency, you know, being consistent in the things that we are to do. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, which is self-control. And against these things, the word says, there is no law. So, which means we're not under the law when we operate in the Spirit. And how do we operate in the Spirit? Well, it's by faith, of course. So as soon as we humble ourselves and yield ourselves, yield our members over to the Lord, you're in faith. I mean, that's how faith is activated. And the word says in Hebrews, we must have faith to please God. So that's the key. It's not like, you know, I have more faith than you have faith. Faith is simply, to me, yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit, yielding yourself to God, yielding yourself to the Word, and then applying the Word. That's faith in action. Because James also says, faith without works is dead. So it means faith is the action. Faith is an action word. It's like all the fruit of the Spirit. Those are action words. Love, peace, kindness. You have to apply yourself to be able to do it. You can say, well, I love you, and then turn around and say something bad behind their back or something. Or even the motive of the heart. I mean, to me, I'm usually good to go if the motive of my heart is good, you know. I don't have to sit and check, oh, I want to got to pray about this. I know the motive of my own heart. And if my motive of my heart is good, I'm good to go usually. Because sometimes that's the way it is in this world. You have to be ready to go. And if the motive is good, if it isn't, I'll quickly repent and say, hey, you know, I got something going on here and deal with that. But the motive of the heart is what God searches. The world over, it says, searching the motives of people's hearts. See, because he knows our hearts. And that's what everything is justified on that, you know. That's where righteousness comes from. So when we yield ourselves over to the Spirit of the living God, and it's a daily thing, picking up that cross, like I said earlier, picking up that daily Christ, yielding onto the Spirit of the God. See, there is no, the word says, what I just read was, there is no law in that. Against such, there is no law. When you're operating in the Spirit, the law has nothing to say. Because, see, I yield myself unto the Lord, and I decided, it's like, you know what, I'm not going to go back to how I think it should do, or am I going to hold the offense that maybe I had an offense of something in the past, or something in my life caused an offense earlier, or just because I've had a lot of failure in my past. That's not going to dictate what I'm going to do today. And it's not going to dictate where I'm going to stand in the Spirit or in the flesh, because it's always a matter of faith. Are you going to stand in faith? Are we going to stand in faith? Or are we going to stand in flesh? Are we going to revert back to, I call it the dead zone. I mean, because there's nothing alive in any of that stuff that I said there. Adulteries, fornications, uncleanness, I'm not going to say that word. Witchcraft. Seditions, you know, heresies, murders, drunkenness. I mean, all that stuff. I mean, that's the dead zone. I mean, that's what we came out of, man. So why would we want to return to that? Proverbs says it this way, you know, and it's not such a nice thing, but it's really the truth. A dog will return to its own vomit, okay? So when we return to the things of the flesh, that's actually what we're doing. We're returning to something that's dead, relying on our own self and not God, or because there's an offense, there is something there that's stopping us, that puts a ceiling on our life, and we're not even able to surrender it because I got something harbored in my heart. And it puts a ceiling on my life. And I can't even pray, man. I can't pray the way I'll go say a quick little prayer. And then I'll run off and do the same thing that I just didn't want to do. So I just null and voided the Lord's prayer and my prayer of faith, you know, because I turned away from it like it says in James. I turned away. I looked at myself in the mirror. I looked at the truth in the mirror. Said a prayer, okay. Then I just turned my back and said, well, yeah, but I got to take care of it this way. You know, so I just called it all null and void right away what I just did instead of continuing to yield and yield. And it's not easy, you know. One time I asked the Lord, and this was years ago, I said, Lord, you know, I haven't been a real patient man in my younger days, or even yesterday maybe, but because that was a younger day, right? Okay. But, and the Lord told me, and it was as clear as a bell. It came right into my spirit, right into my mind, and it's like, he said, just wait. I'm like, just wait. That's not what I wanted to hear. I wanted an answer to my situation, my problem, and I didn't want to have to wait for it. So probably in that instance, I went and did my own thing again, probably, you know. But he said, just wait. And what he meant on that was just wait on him. Just wait on my word. Just enter in, yield yourself, because I have to yield myself to enter in. Because if I have my own agenda going on, I'm not going to enter into the Lord. I'll say a quick prayer, and then I'll probably go do my own business again. Because I've done it for so many years. I mean, that's the mindset that I've had. That's how the world operates. So if we don't renew our mind, that's what we want to do. We want to say a quick prayer, and they think that's the prayer of faith, and then we'll move back to where we were. And then we wonder. See, and that's like double trouble, isn't it? Because, okay, we prayed, so then we think our prayer of faith is out there, but then we back up a step, forget our face in the mirror, and return back like we don't even know what we just did. You know, and we do it so often. And that's just, and all that is standing in the spirit and then falling back to the flesh because it's comfortable and we're used to it. So, and it takes time to go from that place to that place. It takes time of surrender, and it seems like there's a lot of failures along the way. But the greatest thing is, you know, we're never a failure in Him. I mean, we're born again, man. Everything that we have, we are equipped with, you know. And there's nothing that we can't, you know, we are made, you know, we're spotless and blameless in His eyes. I mean, we absolutely are, and that's absolutely the truth. It's just that we have to surrender continuously because we live in a flesh suit that wars against the spirit. The word says the flesh wars against the spirit. So that's always where the battle lies, you know. And then the battle also lies in the mindsets, in the citadels or the strongholds, the belief systems that we've had, that we have to, by praying in the Holy Spirit, those things will get broken down, and those things will have to surrender to the Spirit. But it's always a yielding, and that's the hard part. It's oftentimes easier just to do it, you know. It just really is. Call it the dead zone, you know. It's working in the works of death. You know, there's nothing there but death. The only life that we have was when we got born again. That brought us spiritual. We changed from spiritual darkness to spiritual life. I mean, eternal life came in at that moment. So anything reverting back to the old, like the dog returning to its vomit, is dead. There's nothing there for us. I mean, and then we wonder why we don't get the results that we thought. Well, geez, Lord, why didn't you answer my prayer? You know, why didn't my prayer get answered here? Because we reverted back. As soon as we prayed the prayer, we reverted back and did our own thing, and we didn't even really realize it sometimes. And then the devil uses that as a two-edged sword against us. If we don't blame the Lord, we'll turn inwardly and say, well, geez, maybe I didn't pray enough today, or maybe I haven't been praying enough, or maybe I got sin in my life. You know, we'll go all those directions. And that's double trouble. It really is, because that's looking inwardly, and that's not who we are. See, those things are not who we are. No matter if you fail or if you win each victory, the point is that we're going someplace with all this. And if we know who the Lord is in our life, when a failure seems to be a failure, we know that as we continue in and as we yield or repent or whatever we have to do to get back in there, that we don't have to blame Him. We don't blame ourselves. And the devil doesn't get by with that kind of deception. Because, see, that's all deception. We either are who we are in Christ or we're not, you know. So anything else is deception. But it's kind of like double trouble when we do it, and we wonder why we don't get the results. Well, pray the prayer of faith, it says. Well, the prayer of faith is really standing in it, and like patience is standing for something until we get the results. I mean, just standing on it. And so many times, I mean, I just have to be quiet because my mouth is not going to speak the right thing. I mean, it wants to speak about the situation or the circumstance. So I've learned the hard way to shut my mouth sometimes, you know, just be still. Until I can speak something positive about it, you know. And just pray and pray in the Holy Ghost and just pray and, you know, I mean, it changes. All of a sudden, I'm not so negative and I can speak a positive thing, you know. Because I've really found out, and the Lord's really been talking to me about the confession of my words. You know, our words, like James says, it's a two-edged sword. I mean, in one sentence, we're, you know, praising God. In the next sentence, we're cursing our brother, you know, I mean. And the tongue is the most vile, evil thing it can be. It can be used both ways in one sentence. And and we wonder then why sometimes our prayers and our situations aren't changed. And because see, just as the Lord is waiting to respond and to activate His word by confessing it out of our mouth, the devil also waits. If we have some negative words, he's standing by there waiting, I hope, I hope, I hope. And he's a great reminder of yesterday. I mean, that's all he can do. He can only remind us of what where we've failed, and that's all he does, right? I mean, because I don't remind myself where I failed. I mean, I don't do it, so I know it's not me that's always doing it, because I don't like to do that to myself. And I know God doesn't do that, so there's only one other culprit that'll do it, and that's our accuser, the accuser of the brethren. He's always accusing us of this and that. And I'd love to expose him wherever I can, you know. I don't like him. I hate him. Like Donner says, I hate the devil. I do too. You know, but I don't entertain him or anything or put a lot of weight on that, because I'm the captain of my own ship. If my words are lining up with negativity or with the dead zone, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish it was different. The economy and the news media and all that, I mean, our words better not be lining up with that stuff, because all that is to put you under and put you under oppression, and just there's no hope in it, man. There ain't no hope in none of that. And I've been there. I mean, it goes on and for so many years now that I've failed kind of miserably in some of those areas myself, where I didn't accept it, but in a way accepting my situation and having a poverty mentality, man. You know, it's not right. None of that lines up with the Word of God. So he's gently, by the Holy Spirit, gently, gently, so gently, always gently, very quiet voice, always reminding us. It's like, yes, son, but, you know, here, you know, he'll remind me of the Word. You know, if I'm not reading it, I get reminded. And then I need to go dig into it again and remind myself. Because, see, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I mean, and that's where everything stands. Everything's based off of that, because he comes to steal our identity. See, he comes to tell us that we are not who the Word says we are. And he does it constantly. We all know it. I mean, it's like the wine of the world, you know. We get, you know, drunk, and we get drunk from the wine of the world. And it accuses our spirit, you know, of things that we're not. That's the wine of the world. And we're not from that. I mean, we don't have to listen to that. The wine of the world, it's you know, it violates our senses, you know. And it's always attacking our identity, saying that we're not who he says we are, you know. And that sometimes that doesn't take much coaxing, because a lot of times I don't feel like I am who he says I am, right? I mean, so it doesn't take a whole lot of coaxing sometimes, especially if you're having a bad day or having a bad year or whatever it is. But it's day by day, you know, it's just day by day. And the trial of our faith is day by day. 1 Corinthians 3, I'm going to go over to that for a second. 3:11 says, "For hallelujah, Jesus." So whenever we're led by the Spirit, we're not under the law. The law, because see, we're not choosing to have a say, so we can't be put under the law that way, because we yielded ourselves to the Spirit. So we're saying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. So we're not under the law at that point, as far as the law of, you know, of death, you know, the law of the things I just read under the flesh. So no other foundation, 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 12 says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. The day shall declare it. So, is our God not a consuming fire? I mean, it says that in Hebrews 12:29. It says, for our God is a consuming fire. Okay, that's who he is. He's a consuming fire. And it says God lives in us and we live in him. In Corinthians it says, you know, everything that the foundation, no other foundation can any man lay than Jesus Christ. So when we take a hold of that, and then it says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, our own stuff, we try to add to it, or we try to do it, we try to make a ministry for ourselves, make it a career, or however that may take place, we start adding something to it. That's gold, silver, making a profit off of it, you know. Precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, adding our own 2 cents to it. Wood, hay, stubble. It's going to be burnt in the fire. And see, every day, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. So every man's work, every day, shall be declared, because for the day shall declare it. So every day, everything we say goes through the fire, and it's tested to see is it of faith or is it of flesh, man? Every day. So in the, you know, and another scripture that can back that up is, you know, pick up your cross daily, 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 daily. We need to do these things. Long suffering is long suffering. To me, it's consistency also. It's becoming consistent in the things of God, you know. And if I miss a day or two, that's okay. But I'm gonna get back into it, and I'm gonna choose. And it's because it's always a choice. It's a choice to, you know, hey, I'm gonna go do it this way, and I can deny the Lord real easily, and just like that, and go do my own thing. That's where my battle still lies sometimes, because I don't yield to the Lord, and then I wonder why the results aren't the way they should be, you know. And I didn't see the thing through. I didn't pray that thing through, and I didn't stand until I see the results that are needed. Every day, everything we say goes through the fire and is tested to see if it's by faith or by the flesh, fear of man or whatever, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So every day it's tested, you know. I mean, I'm just trying to put it into a day-by-day step here. I mean, we know Bronk had kind of taught this on another level, but I'm kind of bringing it down to a narrower path where it's a day-by-day deal for us. See, every man's work is tested of what sort it is each day. Because if God's a consuming fire, it goes through the fire because He lives right in us. So, and as we learn, because we learn, it's like, well, gosh, I went back and I reverted back to my own flesh, my own ways of doing this again. And then, but that's how you learn and that's how you change. I mean, the only way you can change is if you realize there's something to change, right? So that's how it's done. So there's no condemnation in any of it. We just learn that, hey, I'm doing it myself again. And kind of a way that I know it is my mood will change. My attitude will change. And I can tell, well, I'm not in the spirit no more because I'm thinking of, you know, the things that I named of the flesh. The things, that, the dead zone. Upset, anger, or whatever those things are, you know. They're not the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, kindness, gentleness, meekness, long-suffering, those things. So it's a day-by-day thing. And then 14 says, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And you'll get the results that you were seeking, you know, as we pray in the Holy Ghost. And then, you know, we're found faithful. Because, see, it takes faith to please God. So when we yield ourselves and continue to go into Him, that's how you're found faithful. Because, see, then He can mix Himself involved in that. Because it takes faith for Him to operate in. Because we can't come to Him in the natural. I mean, we can't. You have to yield yourself and say, I can't see You, God, but I know You're there. And I'm going to just yield myself. You know, we say it in different ways here. Go to my secret place, you know, and just praying in the Holy Spirit, you know, and yielding is really the key, is yielding at every moment. Because, see, we surrender to win, and it really is the truth. I mean, we surrender our ways of doing things and choose His ways. And, you know, choice was a big expense, a big cost for God. I mean, it really was. He gave man the choice of, you know, the freedom of choice. So it cost Him a lot, and He gets blamed for everything because of it. Because, see, when we make the bad choice, we blame Him sometimes, you know. Or we say, or not even maybe blame Him so much anymore with this group here, but we'll say, well, geez, Lord, why didn't my prayer get answered? You know, what? And then we look inwardly and say, well, maybe it's something I've done or haven't done. And we get into works that way. And it's just not about that. It's just the Lord says it's a walk of faith. And you know what, folks? It's always going to be a walk of faith. And we don't always see the whole picture. It's step by step, line upon line, precept upon precept. So when we make a step of faith, it's like then we can make another one, and the picture opens up and clarity comes into the situation. Because, see, where strife is, it says in James, there is confusion in every evil work. And selfish ambition basically is strife. Is strife. And selfish ambition is doing it our own way, man. Doing it our own way again. And then we wonder why we're in trouble. So it's a yielding and a yielding and a yielding. And I can say these things because I've walked through some of this stuff. So that's why I can even talk about this. And the word's true, but I can even use it as my own testimony because I've seen it in my own life where when I don't yield, I don't get the results. And you know what happens when you don't get the results? You want to give up on it, right? You want to give up on it. And see, that's the only way the devil wins. He only wins if we give up on things, right? That's the only way. We forfeit things so many times in our lives. We forfeit it. It's like, oh, I guess it wasn't meant to be. Well, come on now. Is that the truth? Is that what the Word says? Prayer doesn't get answered. Just forfeit it and go on with something else? Go on to the next challenge? No, no, no. That's not how we operate. See, we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And we are because of Him, not because of us. Because we're going to continue to yield and yield and yield and trust Him by faith. Because He's faithful and true. I mean, I can't wait to see that on my Lord's. It says it's on His thigh, written, faithful and true. I'm going to see that one day. The enemy, he comes, you know, we're, you know, in those citadels or those mindsets, and he always is trying to remind us of who we are not, where we failed. I mean, he builds these things. And his hope is to get us to stay there, to stay in a strife, stay in an offense, so we're offendable, okay? Then we're offendable people. And there's a ceiling on our life again, and he hopes that we're going to stay there. And when we are offendable, or when we have an offense, pretty hard to pray, isn't it? Pretty hard to. I mean, you just, I would pray a little bit here and there for years, and had some real tough things going on emotionally and just with situations that I was going through. And, I mean, I kept going back to the Lord, but I wasn't understanding why I wasn't getting the results. Because I was like James says, I was like a wave in the sea being tossed to and fro. I'd stand on the Word for a while, then I'd revert back to being mad or whatever it was, you know. So I was like a little wave, you know, being tossed to and fro, you know. And it says that man better not believe he's going to receive anything from God because I'm not standing on anything, you know. I'm letting the situation beat me up, you know. I'm believing, I was like, oh, I don't really have to be talked into being a failure. I can, you know, I can look there if I want to, but I choose not to go there because failures are all a trial is to be conquered. That's what trials are for, just to get conquered, to get through it, and then clarity comes and we move on. So, you know, we've heard before a lot of times in this church, you're either in the beginning of a trial, in the middle of a trial, or in the end of a trial. So it's like we never seem to get out of this mess, you know. But the greatest thing is they're there to be conquered, not to conquer us. They're there because there's citadels, strongholds, mindsets that we have to deal with. We have to surrender. And as we pray in the Holy Ghost, as we surrender to God, He comes and purges those things, breaks off those dead, broken branches that get purged off, broken off, thrown into the fire. Great for that. So then we're going to have a reward at the end someplace, you know. Because let the stuff get thrown in the fire. I mean, I don't care. Because as we go on, the more I go on, the more I spend time with the Lord, the more I understand who He is, the more I start loving people, you know. And the more I'm not so concerned with me. Because when I'm concerned about me, forget about you. I mean, right? If I got my own deal going on, forget about you. I love you, but forget about you. You know, I mean, just being honest. I mean, I love you, but work out your own problem. Because I got my own problems. I mean, isn't that kind of the way it is? Well, the devil loves that when we do that. Because then it's like, I don't care about you. And I really don't. And I can say, oh, yeah, I love you and I'm praying for you. But, you know, work out your own deal. You know, and I mean, is that really the place that we should be walking? You know, so that's why a daily thing is so good for us. You know, daily, you know, what our words, our confessions of our mouth, the things that we say, they're tested by fire every day. We don't even realize it. It's tested by fire, everything that we go through, day by day. And to me, that's a really good thing because it's going to help me correct my talking maybe a little bit more quickly than looking at it as, oh, the testing of my trial, is that the end of my life? No. Yeah, it is. I'm going to be called either a good and faithful servant or something else in that day. The trial of my faith is a day-by-day walk, man. The words out of my mouth is a day-by-day thing. And as I yield unto Him and don't trust in my own ways or even how I think about myself, you know, but trust what the Word says about me, the Word of God is truth. Everything else, facts or whatever else you want to call them have to submit to the Word of God. I mean, every name that's named out here, and every day they come up with a new name for another disease, don't they? I mean, every name is under the name of Jesus. So they can come up with as many names as they want. It really doesn't matter because the name of Jesus trumps it all. And see, we know these things, but in the days to come, we're going to know them better. So as we yield ourselves, and I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but probably preaching like Bronk now, but so he's the one that caused this. Is because, well, he's my teacher in Homer. But I've actually been doing it, so I understand. It's not like I'm not just preaching because I hear it. I'm preaching because I've become a doer of the Word, not just a hearer. And see, and that's where the rubber meets the road. See, becoming a hearer of the Word is great because you hear the Word. James says it's dead. Is there's nothing there if you don't apply it, if you don't become a doer of the Word. And what's a doer of the Word? Faith in action, surrendering to the Holy Spirit, yielding your members to God, yielding yourself to get an answer from heaven. Because see, he's standing like right here, like he's standing right here all the time. I mean, the position of the cross, man. The cross is empty, absolutely. But that's his position always, always, always. His arms are open wide, his heart is exposed for everything that we need at any moment. Always, forever, until we leave this earth. So, and we know these things. I mean, so it's going to become easier for us, you know. We're going to be able to walk in the Spirit all the time. Well, how do you walk in the Spirit all the time? Yield yourself over to the Spirit. Don't revert back to the dead zone. So by praying in the Holy Ghost these hours, day by day, faithfulness will break the strongholds in our life to where we walk in the fruit, the demonstration of power in the Spirit, totally yielding, and have the posture, not my will, but thy will, Lord. 1 Corinthians 3:14 says, if any man's work shall abide, he shall build thereupon. But if we operate in the flesh, suffer loss, prayer is not answered, you know. And then we wonder why prayers are not. We suffer loss, you know, but it says, but we still be saved. But we suffer loss because the fruit of our words and our actions don't line up. We didn't go to him for the answers. So that's how you suffer loss, you see, because we reverted back and did our own thing. 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. It is written, he that taketh the wise in their own craftiness. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Our own craftiness is our own ways. See, what he means, he taketh them. He says, we don't have any authority there. And again, he says in 20, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. So sometimes even, you know, and I've been guilty of this too, sometimes I've, you know, we got some good teachers, you know, out here, and we can go on the internet and we can listen to all that, and it's so good because it catches us up quickly. If you don't have the full foundation, I would really suggest you going into listening to Gary, listen to Dave, listen in the Bronc, and making sure you have that whole foundation there. And that's what we need. But sometimes it says 21 says, therefore let no man glory in men. We're not supposed to exalt these men above God, you know, which to me means we're not supposed to just listen to them and, you know, and maybe pray in the Holy Ghost a little bit and stuff. And then, you know, we're supposed to be digging into the Word ourselves, okay? We're supposed to be praying in the Holy Ghost, of course, digging in the Word, meditating on the Word for ourselves, you know? Because some other man, they can't tell you and you and you your ministry, you know? The only way you're going to find that out is if you dig into the Word and you spend the time yourself. But I'm not trying to take away of not spending time listening to these other guys, because I do all the time. But you still have to, and it says, don't glory in no man, which means don't exalt him to a place where you're not doing it for yourself, see? Because we need to be doing it for ourselves. And that's how we grow up, and that's how we learn, you know. And it says, whether Paul, 22 says, whether Paul or Apollos, Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or the things present, or things to come, all are yours. Which, going back to a daily thing here, all is ours. Which means we have the choice to make. Are we gonna operate in the Spirit, or are we going to operate in the flesh? All is yours. How are you going to do it? It's your choice. So when we do it the wrong way, we understand we're going to get the wrong results. And to me, that's a great place to kind of monitor things. If, like I said, if my mood changes, I'm operating in the wrong place. All things are yours. Forced love is no love at all, right? See, that's how God had to do it this way. Forced love is no love at all. He could have said, this is the way you got to do it, and taken away choice. Well, then we'd be like robots. Like, I think the enemy's camp operates like robots because they have a certain emotion that they operate out of, right? And that's all these guys can do, you know? That's all those fallen angels can do. But see, we have given liberty and freedom. So all things are ours. And he gave us choice because forced love is no love at all, you see. Unconditional love is given the choice of doing this or doing that. And we're going to make, because of the goodness of God, we'll make the right decision and move in towards God more and more. See, that's unforced love. Forced love is no love. You can't force someone to love you. It doesn't work. It's once again, living in the dead zone. That's why God did it that way. Gave us choice, but it seems like it's very high cost towards him because he gets blamed for everything. The word says his goodness will continue to leave us, but his love covers a multitude of sins and will lead us back into the truth. And if we get off track, love leads us back into to comfort and, you know, the warmth and the love of the Lord. First, when I became a Christian, I did things because I was a Christian, you know, good things. And then I came to a place where I did things because, you know, I was supposed to, and because I was a Christian. And then I came to a place where I did things because, you know, I just, you know, wanted to be that way. You know, I wanted to please God, because thinking if I didn't, you know, But now how I kind of operate, and it's been that way for quite some time now, how I operate now, you know, because God says he's our friend. Besides everything else, he's our friend. Now I do it just because I love him, man. I mean, it's because I've come to know him for who he is, and he's not this religious God that I was told about so much and how I was raised. He's my friend, man. So I don't serve him because I have to. I mean, I serve him because I love him. And it's just a big, big difference. I mean, and then what that seems to do is opens up everything as far as, you know, it covers a multitude of sins. So when you have that kind of motivation of the heart, he'll just start pruning you and continue to prune you as we walk through these things, you know. Because we all know, it's just like, you know, having a brand new baby, you know. You don't know how to be a mama. I mean, how do you become a mama? By getting in there and doing it. I mean, you don't know how to be one. I mean, you don't know how to be a dad, you know. I didn't know how to be a dad. You just get in there and start doing it, you know. It's a faith step, absolutely. You love them and you cherish them and you start learning how to do things, you know. And that's a learning process all the way through, because once they get to be young adults or teenagers, well, then seems like you got to learn all over again how to deal with them. So so it's just, you know, it's a walk of faith, and it always will be a walk of faith. So but as flesh likes to have the answers before we get into it. It's like, I need to know how to do this before I do it, Lord. Well, man, that don't work. That's never worked for me. I've had to say, well, okay, I'll take a step. And then it's like, okay, well, then that wasn't so bad. And then you start taking more steps. And he walks you right through the thing, man. And all the stuff that's pressure that's all around you, you start saying, wow, I didn't know I was that ugly there. You know, you start seeing the ugliness. But James says, consider it pure joy, my brethren, when trials and tribulations come. Because we get the greatest opportunity in the middle of a trial, in the middle of a temptation. We get to either look at it in the flesh or look at it how it always was. Choose to stay there. Or we can say, you know what, Lord? I'm gonna yield my members unto you. And, you know, because I always thought, well, Paul, it is not pure joy for me when I'm in the middle of a trial. It simply isn't. When the pressure gets on, I'm not a happy camper. It's pure joy because we have a great opportunity in the middle of that to take a look at ourselves and see something ugly, and then praying in the Holy Ghost will get rid of that ugliness. And we move on. And then we have a tool, because see, that weakness, because ugliness is a weakness, right? that weakness, the word says, becomes the Lord's strength. Because as we yield that weakness onto Him and say, man, I don't like that about myself, and I don't, you know, I can, I've said it 100 times over certain things already, or probably more than that. But as I yield it unto the Lord, that weakness, the Lord says, becomes His strength. Because I've yielded unto Him and choose not to go there no more. And it becomes a compassion in my life. The things that have hurt me in my past, I've seen. They become a compassion for me to go after others, you know. So see, our weaknesses, don't look at them as weaknesses. Yeah, they're not fun to go through. But they become a compassion because those weaknesses, the Lord says, become our strength, become His strength. His strength, not my strength. And then I carry a compassion for it, see. And that's what's so awesome about the Lord in my life, because He continues to do these things. And He's always there. So Father, we just thank You so much for that, Lord. Choose the lower seat. Become the servant in the trial, and He will exalt you. It's always a choice how you respond. For all things are ours, right? All things are ours. How are you going to respond? Let no man glory in men. Okay? Verse 23 says, but we are Christ's, and Christ is God's. 1 Corinthians 4:1-5 says, clarity, I want to read that first. Let no man account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We're stewards. See, well, what's a steward do? Steward is accountable for some things, isn't he? We're stewards for the Lord, and we got a responsibility, don't we? He's asking us to be accountable. And those that are accountable in the little things, more things will come. And the more things that come, more people are going to come into your life that you can get born again. I mean, that's the whole key. So moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge my own self. And we do. See, when we spend time with the Holy Spirit and spend time in the Word and just spend time in our secret place, and I love to call it running. I can run and sit on Daddy's lap. I mean, that's my favorite place. And to me, that's the middle of the fire. I mean, that's where the fire is. So if you got anything going on, man, it gets dealt with there. But that's my favorite place. That place I go, I just run and sit on His lap. And see, verse 4, it says, for I know nothing by myself. Nothing. I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified? But He that judges me is the Lord. So every day, you know, a trial of our faith, every day, you know, what we say and what we do is tested by fire. God is the consuming fire. He tests it immediately. It's tested. It's not at the end of our faith. It's tested every day. So that we can come to a place of understanding that and changing our lives in those areas and really learning how to yield. Is it going to be by faith? Is it going to be by flesh? How are we going to operate today? Testing of the trial of our faith. It's just so good. So it's less of us and more of Him. He comes after faithfulness to pruning off the dead branches, showing and teaching us along the way. The walk of the power, the walk of the Spirit. Faithfulness starts in the prayer closet. Galatians 5 says, it's our position of liberty, wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know, and that's what it talks about, the same thing there. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What's the yoke of bondage? Going back into the fleshly way of doing things. That's the yoke of bondage. Because our position, it says, is liberty. You know, stand fast. You know, stand fast. That sounds like a military term to me. You know, because you hear that in military. Stand fast. You know, stand fast. Stand fast. How do you stand fast? You yield yourself unto the Lord. So that's standing fast. Because you're not going to get moved in the natural from the situation. The pressure is not going to move us back into the place of the dead zone. So we stand fast on the Word of God. You know, that's very militaristic, if you ask me. That sounds like an army being put together. In Galatians 5:16, it says, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law," which means you won't take offense. You won't look at yourself negatively. So we yield, and as we yield, we can pray, and as we pray, the inner man can bring the outer man into responsibility. I mean that's what it's about. As we yield, the inner man will bring the outer man into accountability, man, which means we're going to learn how to continue to yield unto the Lord, and we're not going to trust our own ways. As we yield to the Spirit, so we can hear, not responding to the flesh or the lust thereof, we hear the mind of Christ. And we must have it to get victory, to expose the enemy who has or is looking for a place to stand in the trial or the situation. When we quickly respond to a circumstance or a trial, that is the flesh or our own ways to handle it. It's not the Lord's. And if that thing is staring us in the face, we want to confront it right away because it's staring us in the face. We want to get it away from us. So we're tempted to deal with it real quickly in the way that we think we should deal it. And that'll probably be out of the flesh. But that's our adversary. He'll throw it in our face. Instead, waiting and getting the wisdom from above, then obeying, because everything we do or say is immediately tried by fire. Is it of ourselves or is it from God? When temptations come, James says we are to consider pure joy. It is only pure joy when we yield ourselves to the Spirit of the Lord. Not speaking or responding, but allowing patience, faith to work for us. But let patience have her perfect work, it says in James 1:4, that you may be perfect and entire or complete, not wanting everything. Which means, I got nothing to add to that, man. Not wanting anything is I'm not going to add my own two cents to it. I'm wanting nothing because I'm trusting in the Lord, trusting in what His Word. I'm not going to add to it. And if we just quickly pray, then go ahead and act out of how we are feeling or out of the flesh, we are like I already had said this stuff, we are like a wave driven with the wind and tossed. Then we wonder, why was not our prayer answered? Why didn't God care? For verse 7 says, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord." You know, it's a double-mindedness. We didn't stand fast and see that thing through, you know. So we just thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. So then we say a quick little prayer. We sprout out of ourselves and then blame God for not helping us or accuse ourselves that we must not have prayed enough or we're in sin someplace in our life, you know, go down that road. That'll also stop us from praying, won't it? You know, sometimes because we're worried about the situation. And see, the devil's biggest goal is to always try to get us to get off course, and anything he can distract us with stops us from praying or spending time with God, you know. And look at, you know, our schedules and our daily life is busy enough, you know, where we have to schedule things, you know. That's one thing I like that I saw in the back before is we had prayer schedules where you could write out your weekly schedule, your daily schedule, and try to put prayer and stuff someplace in that. Because I found out, too, you know, it's just like school or work or anything else. I mean, you know what your schedule is, so you pretty easy to take care of it. And you'll get into a rhythm, you'll get into a routine. And that's the same with prayer. You need to get in a routine with it. It needs to become long-suffering in prayer. It's consistency. It needs to become consistent in our lives. And I'm speaking for myself, because that's where my battle still lies, is my prayer time. And I tell you what, when I've had some seasons where I've been in and out of prayer, and I can tell right away when I've been out of prayer for a little while, my attitude changes. I mean, I start kind of, and some thoughts start coming back like, geez, I haven't thought like that for a long time. And praise God for the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will tell me, it's like, well, you haven't been praying. I'm like, oh, well, yeah. You know, and I didn't even really realize it sometimes, but well, praise God for the Holy Spirit. I mean, praise God, I can hear him a little bit. And he's like, oh, yeah, it's right, you know. And I just get back into it. There's no condemnation in it. Just get back in. So it's so good to have schedules. And now school's back in session and kids got schedules. And my younger days, I have not been a very disciplined man because I was used to doing whatever I wanted to do. So I love the accountability because it puts discipline in my life. You know, being a disciplined follower or, disciple is being disciplined, which means, you know, where am I going to put God in my schedule? You know, where am I going to have time for Him, you know? It's a trial of my faith, man, right there. Because our own ways, you know, our own ways are religion. They really are. Because, see, when religion was thought up here, religion was man's ways now, wasn't it? And that's how the devil tricked the church. he couldn't stop the church, so he tricked the church. Well, I'll just put religion in there, have them kind of get in there and, hey, you can do this, and you can do this, and you can add this. Well, you're helping God, so just add it. You know, and well, men that ain't praying, they're going to run with that. Right? And that's religion, man's ways of doing how God should do it. Vanity. We need to be quiet so religion does not have a say. Verse 25 says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, freedom, and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. I'm sorry, this is James. Verse 25, 2:25. Continue therein, and he being not a forgetful hearer of the word, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The trial will be changed, the answer shall come. And that's how we win. That's how we win. Yielding. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not returning to, you know, our own ways. It's not returning to religion, if you want to call it that. Or brainwashed. I mean, we've been brainwashed by religion, you know. I have. And I still sometimes want to revert back to it, you know. It's religion. Proverbs, like I said before, Proverbs. I never looked at that scripture before, and it sounds accurate to me. A dog will return to its own vomit. And that's what we do when we turn back to our own ways. Returning back to something that, you know, it's kind of disgusting sounding, but, I mean, it's pretty true, isn't it? You know, we are always tempted, especially when pressure is put on, to respond out of ourselves. And if we do, we are drawn away of, you know, when we do, we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed. Because, see, we thought about it and thought about it, and then lust, we went to it. Idolatry or whatever, we went back to that way, and then we're enticed by it. We want to have a say, or we want to add something to God's word sometime, or to the situation. We want to try to add something to, because maybe we're still a little offendable, you know. We want to add something to it instead of hold our peace, just say what God has to say. So 19 says, so be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For it is the opposite of God's ways. Our ways are opposite of God's. So we just continue to yield and yield and yield. And yesterday, I think it was yesterday, you know, I was looking at Hebrews where it says our God is a consuming fire. And everything that we do immediately goes through the fire. So I was thinking about that, and I just felt the Lord was just talking to me about it. He said, we live, you know, we're very unique as far as being on this earth. I mean, being spirit-filled. But we live in two dispensations. We live in two dispensations at once. We live in this earth suit, which always wants to sin, always wants to revert back, always wants to go back, but, you know. And we live in the spirit. So we live in two dispensations here on earth. And that's really something, because to please God or to be able to go to Him at any time, we must do it by faith in the Spirit, which is simply yielding ourselves over to Him and going to Him in prayer, worship, reading the Word. It always requires surrender. So we leave our body. You know, isn't that the truth? When you yield yourself into the Spirit, you leave your body. Because you're yielding to the Spirit of the living God. And the only way we can go to Him is by Spirit, isn't it? You can't go to Him by flesh. Go to Him by flesh, we would be, if that was possible, well, we'd be a little puddle on the ground. Because, see, flesh can't stand in His presence. So that's why faith, we have to yield ourselves. We go to Him in spirit. We go sit on Daddy's lap in the spirit, not in the flesh. So we live in two dispensations. It's really something. So we got to go to Him. We got to go to Him to get the answers, just like Jesus did. Jesus always had to move Himself away from the crowds in the evening or whatever. Not like He was just sick of them and tired of them. It's like, I got to get away from these people. They're driving me crazy. No, because He had to go yield Himself back unto the Lord and get... Because He couldn't go in the natural. He was in this earth suit just like we were at that time. So He couldn't go. He would have been burnt up and His ministry would have been over with. He would have been with the Lord. Because if He would have been able to go in the natural, our body can't sin. The sinful body we live in can't stand in the presence of God. No sin can. So it's always done by the Spirit. So two dispensations are taking place here. So we get to go to Him, get the information, get the knowledge, get the things that He wants us to do. Then we get to come back into our body, if you want to look at it this way, back into our body. Then we're able to take care of the trial we have, because we have the wisdom. So we're able to help people in the natural then. So then we come back and we help people in the natural. I mean, isn't that awesome? So we live in two dispensations. Angels can't do that. Angels are ministering spirits that only minister in the Spirit. So we go from the natural when we surrender ourselves and yield to the Lord. We go to Him in spirit, get the information we need, and then we get to come back again into our body and minister unto the people. I mean, isn't that awesome? I mean, that's we live in two places at once. So we need to learn how to do it better, you know. And that's how we got to do it. We got to go to Him to get the answers. And then we come back and give what we have in the name of Jesus. So, stewards, required of a steward is to be found faithful. And we're found faithful with going into the Lord and spending that time getting the answers from Him and then coming back to the earth. If you want to look at it that way, and looking at it in a spiritual concept, coming back to the earth, having the information of God and then giving it out. So Father, we just give You the glory and honor and praise for this, Lord Jesus. I thank You for Your love and for Your goodness to all of us, Lord God. And we're going someplace with all this, Lord. We're moving forward. Lord, You say our latter days are going to be our greatest days. Our latter days are greater than our former. So, Father, we just give You the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name.